Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Hey troopers. The summer is seeing out its last days now, isn't it? But what a ride it's been. This episode will lift you out of any possible funk, I reckon. It's an absolute, complete and utter doozy. It was so joyful to listen back to edit. Oh, it was recorded live at the Mac Comedy Festival in Wales back in May, with a beautiful, massive audience and dreamy guests from the highest heights of Welsh comedy. It's Esyllt Sears and Priya Hall. Firstly, thanks though for listening to Hoovering. You're the best. Can you tell other people about it? I'd love that. You can shout, listen to this podcast called Hoovering, you pricks. Or you can say, do you want to cuddle? And then while you're cuddling, whisper, why don't you try listening to the Hoovering podcast? Or you could just subscribe to it. That helps other people find out about it. Or leave it a 5-star review if you don't want to do either of those marginally sort of violent or creepy things that I've also suggested. If you've got spare money knocking about, go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod and you will see all sorts of wonderment that I'll give you in exchange for your money. Guest recipes, exclusive, brilliant cooking videos, homemade by me. Loads of exclusive content in all seriousness, and discount tickets to live shows, all that sort of stuff. And more coming soon to Patreon. It's getting an autumnal makeover. The whole podcast is actually, but more on that in future weeks. Next, I need to remind you that my brand new stand-up show, Wench, is at the Edinburgh Fringe right now. It's the last weekend, but don't worry then, it's coming on tour and it's coming somewhere near you. Please come and see Wench on tour. It's really good now. I've had a whole month of doing it every day. I love it. It honestly, it's my favourite hour of the day up here at the Fringe doing that show. It's got like a massive raft of lush reviews. It's sold out every day. I'm doing extra shows. I've had the most amazing time up here with it, and I can't wait now to take it all around the land. I'm still looking to add a few dates to the tour if it's not coming anywhere near you. There is hopefully a chance we're adding Belfast to the list soon, but other than that, I reckon go for whatever on the list is closest to you. If we suddenly add one that's even closer, message me. and I'll sort you out. And sort of, you can come to the closer one and I'll manage sort of a refund or something. Anyway, either way, just come as you went on tour. Tickets are in the podcast notes and on my website, jessicafosterq.com. Nothing to warn you about in this episode, other than to mention that Essith is up here at the Fringe as well, doing a brilliant show called Absolutely Not. If you're listening before the 29th of August, or the 28th, I think is all of our last day, please do go and catch her show. It's at 1 p.m. every day in the Tron. Also, I should add that I do believe these guests brought the most exciting food and drink to taste to a live show that any guest has ever, ever done before. It's an absolute wonder. And let's face it, huge relief to tell you that somehow no one was harmed in the making of this particularly excellent episode. Welcome to the Hoovering Podcast, live from the McCandless Comedy Festival! I am your host, Jessica Foster, and I am joined today by two brilliant comedians, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Hello, my name is Bria Hall. I wasn't expecting to do an introduction. I am a comedian. Hello. What am I meant to say?
No, that's it.
Okay, lovely.
Yeah,
done.
That's great.
Smashed it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sometimes we get guests that aren't comedians and they sort of have to explain who they are. But as it's a comedy festival, I thought there's no need to represent them on this panel.
I'm Essith Sears. You heard? People get really nervous usually when they introduce me.
As in saying your name.
Yeah. So,
oh
God.
Oh fuck. Can I fuck it?
I can say it.
Yeah. Go on, Priya.
Essith.
What often happens though with MCs especially is they get so fixated on saying the Essith that they fuck up the Sears. It's lovely.
Essith Jones. If it makes you feel any better, I had like a... Well, we were talking about our weird dreams backstage, because actually it is an interesting topic of conversation. I had a genuine dream last night that yesterday I went to a full 8-hour whole day workshop at this festival run by Kiri Pritchard McLean, and it was the workshop for English comedians just teaching us how, for the full day, to pronounce...
Sure. I realised last week I was talking to Henry, who organises the event. He can't say it. I just don't think anyone's had the guts to pull him up on it. But I did.
Fantastic. I got in a taxi yesterday and I said, can you take us into Machynlleth, please? And the taxi driver went, well, because you said it so nicely, you've clearly been practising at home. And then I spoke Welsh for the whole journey. Just to... I'll only use Welsh out of spite.
Isn't that why we all use it?
Yes.
Yeah. What's the origin of your language? Well, there was a lot of spite.
You know the thing about turning to speak into Welsh when people walk into a pub? All true.
Yeah.
Glorious. Well, I suppose actually, as for a comedy festival, this is a festival with extraordinarily good food.
Mm.
Have you had anything amazing to scoff at the festival yet?
No, I've been too busy. And what's worse is you get a wristband if you're an act. Yeah. And you get some money off. But because I've been staying at my parents' house down the road, I've just been going home. And this morning for breakfast, I feel really bad now because this is a cooking thing and I...
No, it's an eating thing.
An eating thing, sorry.
No cooking's been done by me.
It's an eating thing. And yeah. For breakfast this morning, I had a banana and a Pepsi Max. That's so 90s, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very 90s breakfast.
A banana and a Pepsi Max, delicious. It feels like... She's not been to sleep, isn't it? That's like a post-rave, but like your body's not quite ready for any sort of real solid. Mm.
Yeah, yeah. And I ate the banana so my mum could see me eating something sensible.
Oh, do you do that thing where you revert when you go back anywhere near your parents to like the teenage you like that would be like just having a... having a piece of fruit.
Which is something I do
just on a whim.
My mum loves to make sausage casserole, so every time I go back to her, she makes me sausage casserole, and that is my version of reverting. It's disgusting. Okay. It's gross.
Is it?
It's gross.
Because I...
No disrespect to my mum.
I mean, it's open, she's not listening. Disgusting sausage casserole.
Yeah, yeah, that's her vibe. That's the one thing she can cook. And when I say can cook, no.
Just a sort of, what, tin of tomatoes and a chopped up sausage?
No, no, like, you know the powdered casserole mix?
No, I'm too posh. I genuinely didn't know that was a... I'm so sorry.
And if I'm lucky, a chopped up celery stick.
I've heard of a powdered egg. I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, yeah.
A chocolate celery stick.
If I'm lucky, a chopped up celery stick.
Chopped up celery stick, yeah. Just for a bit of nuance in there.
Sausages.
Sausages, snossages. Lovely. Have any of you eaten anything extraordinary at the festival yet, audience?
The curry.
Yeah, fit. Which one did you get?
We actually just got the dregs at the chickpea one last night.
The dregs is the best thing. Dregs sounds like such a throw of shade, but the dregs, if you're talking about a curry, is the stuff of real joy, isn't it? Of the chickpea one, nice. I had the Kashmiri chicken one, and it made my mouth ring for about 20 minutes after the fact, and I mean that as a motherfucking compliment.
I had the lamb one. It was really good.
Oh, what? I've been left out now.
The night is young.
Okay, so where is the curry stand?
Just outside.
Just steps out the door. You can smell it from here.
Okay, I'm making a beeline for it.
And we've all, we've all brought offerings to this eating podcast, and all of this needs explaining. I'll photograph it. I guess, should we go from left to right across the board?
Yeah, so I was going to bring in some mushroom crisps from Costco, which are delicious, but I did not plan ahead properly and packed for Machynlleth with about 20 seconds to spare. So I didn't bring them, is what I'm getting at. So what I did was I went in the co-op about 20 minutes ago. and I got some chili and lemon grills.
This is the banana and Pepsi Max of podcast preparation happening
here. I'm very conscious that this is all like homemade stuff. And I'm like, here's some crisps. And I was trying to find the most disgusting thing I could possibly find. So
intriguing would go for, I'd say, more than disgusting. Let that be decided.
I'm going to lean right into disgusting.
Okay.
Drumstick chocolate. Like drumstick, like the lolly, but in a chocolate.
I would love it if the garage in Machynlleth is the only place that it has any custom for that bar. Yeah.
It's the only place keeping it in production.
Do you know what? There are perverts out there who love those things, though.
Like, I mean, drumsticks are delicious.
I'm open-minded to all kinks, but drumsticks are delicious, chocolates are delicious, but I like a bonfire and I like a baby. I don't want to see them mingle.
It says on it, with real raspberry pieces. There aren't real raspberry pieces in a drumstick. What?
Yeah, why are you getting them in there? But do you know what it makes me think of? Those Cadbury's Dairy Milk have a range called Marvellous Creations that's similarly fucking gross, but some people are into it. That have got like rats. Do you know what I mean? There'll be like a bit of jelly baby in the middle of the chocolate.
Delicious.
And stuff like that. You like that?
I love that shit.
But you're not...
I'm probably going to enjoy this, but I'm aware it's disgusting.
But you're going to enjoy it and then feel ashamed.
Oh, I won't feel ashamed.
Okay, good. Let's
I will just acknowledge that it's disgusting and move on with my life.
I do like to bring my own baggage to my questions. And what's this? I understand this is your mum's work.
So I've outsourced... I was going to bake something because I'm a big baker. I love baking, and but didn't have time, like Priya. But instead of going to the garage, I rang my mum and said,
"Sorry, I just kicked my water bottle over."
That was our sister's mum kicking off.
Yeah. My mum has been stressed for 3 days.
Oh.
Because when I told her that it was going to be recorded and people would be trying it live. And it's something she's made since we were kids, so she should be able to make it in her sleep, but it has taken her 3 days to make it.
Oh, it must be revealed.
It is. Well,
it's and you bought some wooden cutlery.
And enough for some people in the audience as well. So, sorry, I'm approaching this like there's points to be won.
I mean, without you even taking the foil off, I don't think you'd be offended. You've absolutely won. Yeah. I bought some bits and bobs from... the coffee shop outside, the pink truck of coffee shop. What is in here?
So...
Oh, stop making violent noises.
This is my mum's big moment,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
What's your mum's name?
Mena.
Mena.
Mena Davis Nee Lewis, in case anyone knew her before she got married. You know what Wales is like. Now, it's a crumble.
Ooh.
Okay, yeah, everyone likes a crumble, but you know, I'm not going to bring just a crumble to this. A strawberry crumble.
Ooh. Yeah, boy.
Has anyone ever had a strawberry crumble before?
That looks so
oh
good.
Oh my God, she's beautiful.
It is the best crumble you can have. So there you go.
So lovely.
Oh, you're not so good. Just see
No, it mainly was just the
crumbling.
Now it's exactly. Oh my God.
And there's enough for some people in the audience to have some as well.
Get in.
But also.
Also, there's some poison.
Yeah. And you can probably see the sediment from the back of the room.
Why is it leaking down from the cork? Like it's trying to escape the bottle.
Yes. Isn't that the French way?
It's a wine. What? So?
So, my granddad, on my mother's side, Meirion Lewis, he used to be the head teacher in Ynys Wen Primary School, in case there's anyone in. No.
That's the Welshest thing you've ever said.
He used to make wine, and when he died, there were loads of bottles of wine in the house. My mum just wanted to get rid of it. I was like, there's no way you're getting rid of it. So I have a dozen bottles of his wine in my kitchen.
Wow.
And this one is from 1988.
This might actually kill us. That is older than me.
It's
by a way.
Genuinely, before I left the house today, my mum was like, you're not going to let anyone drink that, are you?
Yeah, strangers. Yeah, people who've paid to be there. I've got a stand-up show to do later. I'm going to be on another plane for it.
So there's that.
This is flipping exciting. Okay, I have got that. It's going to be such a step down from that. But I feel like the sort of afternoon eating item that everybody's wanging on about at me up here is the chocolate banana bread from the coffee stand outside called Hardlines Cafe or Coffee. Hardlines Coffee. The pink van out there. Not the ice cream one, the one next door. Ice cream's really good. They've got a Kinder Egg flavour.
Oh my God.
Ooh. Yes, absolutely great. But the salted caramel is a bit hard and the top scoop kept falling off. My son's eaten a lot of grass this morning. I drew the line at gravel. But he can have a bit of grass.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cows are fine, are they?
Cows are fine, yeah. They've got a spare three tummies, but sure. They're fine, yeah. Right, so I think it's probably best if we try things talk about them.
Yeah. Before we start,
yes.
I've forgotten the cream in the green room.
Grab it. Go grab it.
Shall I go?
Yeah. No problem. So that's a blueberry oblong. I forgot the names. Shall I make them up?
Yeah.
A blueberry almond oblong. Beige. Beigey. But chocolate banana bread. Mm-hmm. This is a vegan fruity flapjack, was what it was called. This is just some chocolate chip biscuits that came in my Airbnb. Lovely woman runs my Airbnb. She said, we normally have the same comedian stay here every year. I don't know what's happened to him. And then she said the name of someone who's not a comedian. She's been conned. for since the inception of the festival, it turns out. And then she asked a lot. She asked, are you performing at the festival? Where? What time? Have you done it before? All sorts of questions about my show, and then closing words as she left me the key was, me and my partner hate comedy. absolutely welcome. Great. So those are those items. I don't know what we want to eat first. I feel like that's going to just hands down beat everything.
Yeah.
Also, how are we going to do it? Just sort of get in with a fork each?
I've got cups.
Cups! Let's have crumble in a cup.
Crumble in a cup. I'm going to open this away from the microphone.
Yeah, okay. Well, I also really want to try a bit of chocolate banana bread.
It's really good.
Have you already had one of these?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I like it that chocolate's visible within and not just a cocoa.
Mm. Are you not done with banana bread, though, since the pandemic?
I haven't had any since the pandemic, so right. I'm just ready to get back in. Did you sourdough?
No, not sourdough. I did bake bread
yeah.
and thought, in the second lockdown, I thought, this is my life now and I'm happy with it and I will continue it forevermore. And as soon as the third lockdown was done, I was like, yeah, fuck bread.
Fuck bread. Back down Lidl. Thanks very much. The most lockdowny thing you made during a lockdown?
I embroidered a goat onto a tote bag. And then,
yeah, now you're talking.
And then I never embroidered anything else ever again because I was like, I can't beat that.
No, yeah, you did. You peaked. You peaked young, actually, yeah. Haven't you, with that?
Start strong.
Yeah, perfect. Kimchi was where I knew I was coming on the edge.
Yeah.
I started making tortilla wraps from scratch.
What?
Don't even start. I mean, no.
Wow. No. Oh, my God. I'm really giddy about this.
There's so much juice comes from the strawberries.
Oh, my God.
I just wish it was
strawberries.
I just wish it was hot, though. That's the only thing. Because hot strawberries.
Oh, good noise.
They knew what I meant.
Oh, my God.
Are you happy that you've paid up for an hour of watching three women eat?
Hey, there's a Pornhub category for everything,
so.
Right?
People would pay more than that.
Yeah, a lot more than that.
Oh, hang on, and take a spoon.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, don't just try and drink it. It's all right through me there.
You know how they sometimes, you get like a breakfast smoothie that's got oats in it, and you blend it. Maybe you could do like a crumble smoothie.
Yeah. Oh.
Say your mum's name again, Menna.
Menna.
Thank you, Menna.
Thank you, Menna. Blessed be the strawberry crumble. Here we go. Oh, yeah. My God.
Yes.
Oh,
this is so good.
Good. The absolute depth and girth of that crumble.
Yeah. My mum will love the word good.
Oh, it smells amazing.
Oh, yeah, it's as good as I remember.
Oh, fuck me. It smells of home and holidays simultaneously. How's she done that? How's she fucking done that? Oh, is it...
Is there rhubarb in it? Just strawberries?
No, just strawberries.
Oh, my God.
Right, who would like some?
Oh.
Okay, I'm just going to fill as many cups as I can.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, so you're going to have to serve this up to everyone in this room. Well,
I used to be a waitress. It's fine.
Priya, have you ever stolen food?
Have I ever stolen... Well, actually, when I was a waitress, I used to steal food all the time. This is disgusting. When I worked as a waitress, I used to quite literally steal food off people's plates after they'd eaten. Don't judge me, I was poor.
I did exactly the same thing. I worked in a fancy hotel, and if they...
curry, though. It's liquid food.
Absolute muck. If they ever left... If I could see a teeth mark in it, that would be where my boundaries lay. Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, that should apply to everything in life, surely.
Oh, I'd have missed out on some excellent relationships. Roast potatoes. If anyone had ever left a whole roast potato, I'd been like, wow, I don't care. I don't care what you've coughed on that. But the head chef caught me and was raging. It was the only time he ever called me girl. Like, angry enough to call me girl. And said, people could have coughed on that. And I didn't know how to express to him, like, because he was so raging, I knew it would have made it his anger worse to go, I don't care.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm aware. Don't mind that.
I would eat half-eaten naan bread, so I think that was quite disgusting.
Oh.
Yeah.
Look, it is what it is. I'm still you.
This strawberry crumble is so delicious and is faring so well cold, whereas naan bread, actually, I don't think takes well to oxygen.
I gotta say, I disagree. It takes well to oxygen and other people's saliva.
That's how you reheat yours.
Delicious.
So you just reheat yours with a little bit of close-up breathing. Poppadom, on the other hand, prefer it after a couple of days with a bit of give.
Don't eat poppadoms.
Oh, what?
Don't eat poppadoms.
You're missing
out. I worked in an Indian restaurant and they used to cook the poppadoms at the start of the week, put them in a massive vat, and it was the most disgusting vat I've ever smelled in my life. Smelled like farts. Don't eat poppadoms. I'm so sorry. I feel like I've ruined all of your days by being like, by the way, don't eat poppadoms. The mango chutney, that comes in a vat.
I don't mind things coming in a vat.
Oh, I hate a vat of food. I used to have to ladle massive amounts of mango chutney from the vat. And I used to get it on my shoes and it was disgusting.
Sorry.
It's all right. I was trying to do that so subtly and it's such a big noise.
I should just stop.
I don't really understand what your plan is, Essex. Are you going to take a cup for every person in this room?
Yeah, she's just got handfuls of cups of crumble. This is amazing. So you don't like things from a vat. Yeah. I don't mind if I can't taste the vat.
Sure. I think once you've seen the vat, you forever taste the vat.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
When's the last time you ate something and thought, well, that's just changed my life forever, in a good or a bad way?
Someone told me on Twitter, I tweeted about having a cheese toastie for some reason. It was a slow day. And someone suggested putting lime pickle in it.
Ooh.
It changed my life. So, you know, any bread, cheese, I like to use like mature cheddar cheese,
yeah.
And put the lime pickle in and then put it in the toastie maker. It is divine.
That sounds lush.
Yeah.
That sounds fucking lush.
I know.
What a brilliant answer.
Sorry I didn't bring any of that, guys.
I haven't had a cheese toastie for far too long. I'm going to need to sort that out quite soon.
Oh, yeah.
Fan of that?
Yeah, love a cheese toastie. I bought an air fryer recently and all I'm going to make with it is cheese toasties.
A toastie in the fryer?
In an air fryer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you keep it in... What are you going to do first, sort of make a sort of string prison for it or something? How are you going to how do you keep what's inside the sandwich in a fryer?
I hadn't really thought that far ahead. I only bought the air fryer very recently.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to be able to make a cheese toastie.
I disagree. I've watched a lot of TikTok videos of people making toasties in an air fryer. So I feel like I can...
I don't own an air fryer. Oh, it's top on my birthday list, but it's not for another few months. And not because I want to make things with a fat fryer, but I'm scared of fire. Which, great if you're listening to this, because hard to work out what I said, because fryer rhymes with fire. I'm not scared of fryer, I'm scared of fire. But hopefully air can't set fire to your home, can it?
Well,
and that's the joy of an air fryer. Let's find out with two bits of bread and a cheese.
I'm off again. I just thought I'd let some people know I've run out of spoons, so you're going to have to eat it with a knife.
Yeah. And she's also put the knives in handles down.
Yeah.
So. you'll be eating your men's strawberry crumble with the thin end of a wooden knife. Better though, really, than the serrated end. I see what you've done there, Nell. Yeah, no one's going to get a little sort of splintered mouth. This is a tea party, technically, would you say?
This is a tea party? Yeah. There's no tea.
I've got one.
Oh, you've got a tea, but no one else has a tea.
What a great host. Didn't even offer. Talk to me about anything memorable that you've eaten at a party.
At a party?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a really good question.
Thanks, mate.
Oh. Have I ever been to a party? What have I eaten at parties? Mm. Oh my God, I can't remember the last time I went to a party, which I think is a damning indictment of my life.
Where did you discover these mushroom crisps that we didn't end up getting in the end? And I want a really graphic kind of crisp sommelier's description, please, of these mushroom crisps.
So, these mushroom crisps, what happened was, I'm going to start at the beginning. Yeah. I have a brother. He was born in 1990. He got a Costco card. I don't qualify for a Costco card because I'm a comedian. So he put me on his Costco card as an executive member. Thank you. Yes, exciting. And I went to Costco with my partner, and then she absolutely lost her mind because she was like, we can get mushroom crisps. And I was like, that sounds disgusting. I don't want to do that. But they're actually great. They're like air fried or dry. I don't really know how they make them crisps. And then they're covered in salt and garlic.
So hang on. I think I've completely misunderstood what was happening to you.
Yeah.
I thought that today you were bringing, which hasn't happened, but it's okay, I forgive you. I don't know what I'm going on about. I thought you were bringing us a standard potato crisp flavoured with the dust of some kind of intense mushroom.
Well, like a mushroom risotto flavoured crisp.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but without the flavour of rice, onion or wine or anything else.
Yeah.
Just like a mushroom.
Yeah, that's
right. Flavoured potato crisp. But what you're talking about is someone somewhere has shaved a mushroom.
No, not shaved them, they're whole mushrooms.
Oh.
Fuck.
And they do it.
So it's just air-dried mushrooms, freeze-dried mushrooms.
Yeah, but they're so crunchy and they're like shiitake mushrooms and they like, they're so good.
I'm
they make them in Australia, that's where they come from. I looked it up. To be like, who did this? It's delicious.
I've never heard of this.
I've never heard of it.
A lot of stuff and I've never heard of it.
You can, I was telling them backstage, you can, if you plan ahead, order them on Amazon as well. But did I plan ahead? No. That's why I'm here with this. But it's delicious. I really, really recommend it. If you manage to sneak into Costco, neither of you qualify. Apologies.
Do you know what I've got to worry about with these? That there's going to be some sort of synthetic sweetness. I think that sometimes happens with a freeze-dried whole vegetable.
Yeah, the powder on them is not natural.
Yeah.
I would say the powder on them is almost certainly carcinogenic.
But most carcinogenic things are delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Barbecued sausages, fags.
Yeah. Case in point.
Case in point. All right, you're both Welsh. What does Welsh food mean to you? And has that changed or is it changing?
For me, it's about being fed more than the food itself. So there are certain things in Wales that you have, like cawl, which is basically a very chunky soup, you know, Welsh cakes and things like that, that are passed down. I mean, my grandmother's baked a lot, my mum still bakes, and they pass down recipes and stuff. But it's more about anything you go to, there's food. There's an abundance of food, and people will make you feel guilty for not eating what they've made.
Yeah.
So, you know, birthday parties. So it's like birthday parties when you were younger, my mum would make stuff, my two grandmothers would bring things, and they wouldn't say anything. But there was a sense that they would be disappointed if you didn't eat their stuff.
Yeah.
So then from a very early age, you're aware of having to please everyone by eating all their stuff. So I was very fat as a child. but that's fine. So I think it's more that. And like with my grandmother, for example, who used to live in Aberystwyth, she... If you just popped in quickly to see her, she'd have a full tea for you.
I love that. But even if you came unannounced, what you've got is this idea that there's an ever ready,
tea. Yeah, she'd whip stuff up, and you'd be like, "Well, it's like 5 o'clock. I'm literally on my way to my parents to have dinner," and she's like, "Oh, well, you'll have a cake, won't you?" No. But again, you didn't want to disappoint her because she loved feeding us, and I am like that. I am a feeder. I love seeing people enjoy my food.
My nana's exactly the same. So I was a vegetarian for like 6 years, and for that entire time she would have like a hoard of vegetarian food in her freezer just in case I popped in. But I would say I visit her maybe once every 2 weeks, so she just had a rotating stock of vegetarian food that was going off that she had to like throw away and be like, well, maybe next time. Great.
I love it. Yeah, I had an Austrian nana who was a feeder as well. Like, so that part of the culture was, yeah, similar. And, like, a constant passing of stuff. And actually, my dad's got that, like, inherited it 100%. And I'm, it's in me. Yeah. And it's, like, whether I do or don't act on it. It's, it's the desire to constantly be loving via the passing of especially a sweet item of food.
Yeah.
It's part of... Is that? It feels like part of your sort of humanity, doesn't it, a little bit? But my nana, unlike, by the sounds of it, yours too, also was, well, on the wrong side, but a war baby, who was so obsessed with food waste that she would unabashedly serve up in August some mince pies that she'd got for 2p in Asda because it was August.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, it'd be like trying to eat stones.
Yeah. My nana was also a war baby, and when I was a kid, she used to serve us bread and butter with everything.
Yeah.
And convince me that it was a health food.
Yeah. But so, it would have been, wouldn't it, I suppose, if you were brought up with, like, there might not be enough any minute.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. She convinced me it was like a side salad to a bread and butter. And that's a hard habit to kick.
Yeah. Don't bother, I reckon. Yeah.
My my grandmother on my dad's side, I'll name check her as well. Yeah. She's dead. She might be listening. We don't know.
That's what you're not knowing.
Beryl Davis, and
I love the idea that if there is one method of communicating with the dead, it's podcasts. If there's one form of contact in the afterlife, it's surely podcasts.
She'll be worried I'm hungry for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Just checking in. She was a cook. That was her profession, and she worked at the university in town. And but my granddad was a policeman, and they used to travel around a lot, so he was like a local policeman, so they'd live in the police house. And there's a story that when they used to live in Pontryd Fendigaid, which is in Ceredigion, not far from here, they had cells beneath the police house.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for, you know, drunks and people like that on a Saturday night would be thrown into the cells and then wait for them to sober up and, you know, throw them back out again. But there's a story that my grandmother's cooking was so good that some men would deliberately get thrown in.
Ready for the Sunday fryer?
On a Saturday, yes. Yes.
Oh my God. I know. Amazing. I know. That's amazing.
I love it.
Oh, that's brilliant. All right, on that note, hangover, what are you having?
Oh, very spicy food.
Brilliant.
On a hangover. I want something to cut through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. Do you think there's a sort of pleasure-pain boundary thing happening there as well sometimes?
Maybe. So I really, really like spicy food, and what I've effectively done over the years is burn away all of my taste buds. So when I'm hungover in particular, I need spicy food because I can't really taste anything else at this point.
The chicken Kashmiri curry from 5 steps away from where we're at. Serve said purpose.
Nice. A massive big pint glass of pineapple juice and lemonade.
Okay. Mm. That's a good shout. Mm. It's too sweet for me, but I understand what you're doing.
Yeah. Thank you for your acknowledgement.
It's okay.
Because a lot of people have orange juice and lemonade, but I like the pineapple juice and lemonade.
Yeah.
And I don't know, something salty. Because I think I lose a lot of salt when I'm drunk. I don't know how. I don't know. But something salty, very carb-based. I mean, my go-to comfort food in general, including after a night out drinking, is a massive big mixing bowl of pasta with butter.
Oh.
Salted butter. So you get to taste the pasta properly. Without any kind of sauce, but the saltiness, oh, seriously, you'll be trying it. But it has to be a mixing bowl full.
Yeah,
no sharing.
No sharing, yeah, there's two things on that. Pineapple, I think, is a good example of something where you can taste the vat in a good way.
Oh, disagree. Hard disagree.
Pineapple juice tastes of factories
and
sunshine. At once, doesn't it? Factory sunshine. No? Don't like it?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Disagree.
And then I can't remember what the next bit was. What was it? It was something else about what you said. Oh, pasta, plain pasta. Mm. I get it. So I think what we've got going on there with advocates for virtually plain pasta is, oh, I'm going to get in trouble for this. It's either like a very purist Italian, like, pasta origin story.
Yeah, that's
it's
me.
It's what a chef would do. Or it's, I'm going to say it, the Welsh and Scottish people in my life who just want to have it plain sometimes.
Yeah.
Girlfriend's Scottish, and if I'm not there, has boiled carrots and plain pasta. Oh. Because she knows, it's not. There's no judgment, or I couldn't give a fuck, have what you like. She doesn't want to have it in front of me, she doesn't want to make me sad. It would make me sad.
That's so considerate of her.
Dry.
The butter, though. The butter sounds nice.
No,
anything that's a beer cup of butter, I agree with. But a mixing bowl is too close to a vat for my liking.
I understand. Also, a vehicle for butter is the most maximum hoovering podcast phrase I've ever heard.
Delicious.
Talk to me, either of you, about a food that you believe to be hugely overrated.
Oh, Nando's.
Oh, disagree.
Disagree. But carry on.
It's chicken.
No. Nando's sauce is one of the best foods to exist. And I will... One no from the audience.
I have found my people.
It's subjective. It's delicious. It's like lemony and spicy. And again, it's one of the few things I can taste at this point.
But you've got a few things left that's got any flavour.
Essentially,
to you.
Yeah.
But it's just chicken.
It's hard to argue with that.
It's not just chicken, though, is it? Where else... tell me where else you're going for your macho peas.
Answer the question, as if.
Were you talking to?
Just the air. Just sort of gazing into the air while I thought about macho peas. They're a uniquely spicy pea. Have you had one?
Yes, but a whole chain
for
that specific side dish.
No, not just for that.
The sauce is,
pardon?
Peronaise.
Spicy mayonnaise.
You can make that at home.
Yep, it's true, actually. I'm starting to lean towards your side.
No, sorry.
Several pounds for a few bits of halloumi.
Yeah.
On the side.
Nando's brought halloumi to these shores.
Okay, let me.
I don't know.
Let me tell you something about halloumi. There's always a point when you're eating halloumi when it's enough halloumi.
We are wildly different people.
Me too. I have a different experience to you, I fear. But I hear you. I think you've got a standard experience there.
Thank you very much.
I think I've got abnormal... Well, your spice tolerance is my salt tolerance.
Right, so... Okay.
Every single time I've been in a situation where everybody goes, oh, this is ruined. Like, it's so salty. I'd be like, I love you. I'm worried that I've, like, maybe got too much internal liquid. Good for it. I enjoy my time in the sea. Yeah. I'm into it. It will be handy come the apocalypse. Anything, Priya, that you think hugely overrated on the front?
Hugely overrated. Sourdough bread. I don't see how it's different to normal bread.
It's
okay, I think, thank you. I think the main issue here is, and I keep saying this, I can't really taste much. It tastes the same as all bread.
I think sometimes you can taste the sourness if it's really good.
I love it. Nice,
it's a bit harder than other bread.
That's harder, but catchy. You know, just look after your teeth better.
No. Oh, can I talk about this? I recently got given a prescription toothpaste, so that is rude.
Found the Achilles heel, giving it a right on pinch, haven't we? sourdough's a funny one. I had a bit of a sort of... A kick in the face Was it? A funny realisation. Is it funny? I've wasted a lot of bread. I had a terrible realisation recently. I've been doing a very bougie thing of getting bread from a local bakery delivered to my house by a wanker on a bicycle. I live in London, when in Rome. It's wankers feeding wankers. And it's lovely bread, but it goes off like in a flash. It comes in a brown paper bag. Of course it fucking does. And it goes off. If you eat it on day one, it's amazing. After day one, no one else in my house will eat it. It's just me chewing, grinding, gnarling away, toasting, slathering a whole pat of butter per slice to make it edible. Going, it is still nice. And whenever anyone had visited, being like, do you want some bread on day two? Your bread? No. And I've been really defensive and going, it's actually because it's so fresh that it's made with no preservatives, and that's why it's got nothing in it to make it last. You know, it's because it's got no crap in it. That's why it doesn't last. Well, my partner had the ingenious idea of taking it out the paper bag after day one, popping it in a sealed bag, the equivalent of any normal person's bread bin. Turns out it lasts fine for weeks.
Leaving it out to the counter?
Just leaving it out, yeah. Well, in the paper bag, which is the equivalent.
Wow.
Yeah, and I talk the talk about food waste.
Do you know what's great? Because we there's never any food waste in our house, mainly because I'm there.
Yeah.
But also because we've got chickens.
Oh, great.
Oh, so leftover bread. They've had a lot. Yes. They're very middle class chickens. A lot of sourdough.
Fed on sourdough. Sourdough butts.
Is this why you hate Nando's?
Oh, yeah.
No, because I once killed a cockerel with an axe. So.
What? It's the most I've ever fancied you.
Who what knew that's image? All it took?
Just a bit of violence towards animals. That's me. That's me smitten. Amazing, with an axe.
Yeah.
What had he done?
He turned out to be a cockerel.
Oh, really? Yeah. So because he had no eggs within.
A bit, and he was getting noisy, and we have neighbours, and
it's the use of an axe.
Well, because we read that it's better, because I can ring.
I like the idea of a tiny electric chair for cockerel. That would in some way to our modern sentiments be kinder.
Yeah, that's great.
I do know how to ring the neck of.
Of course,
yeah. but thing is, if you don't do it quickly and swiftly,
yeah.
It's not great for them. So an axe was the best.
That's just the sound of a couple of vegans leaving. It's not great for them.
I feel like my brand is going off course.
Oh no, this is very on brand.
I love it.
We axed him, and you know what they say about headless chickens? He did run under next door's hedge.
No! Oh wow!
Wow. Did you eat him if you got him back out the hedge?
Well, we hung him upside down for all the blood to come out, but...
Yeah, you've got to do that.
But cockerels are notoriously not meaty birds. That's why we eat the chickens.
Yeah.
But we don't eat... But the weird thing about that story is we rescue hens from...
Here we go. Trying to win them back.
There's a very big feminist vibe to this this story. We rescue the women and we behead the men.
Me clapping that. Okay. Okay.
Is this genuinely the type of woman you go for?
That kill. Well, I'm engaged to. Probably the strictest vegetarian I've ever met, so...
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Big shame.
Have you ever eaten food intended for a pet?
No, but I've had to fight my cat off literally every meal I've ever had in my house, so as far as he sees it, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah, lovely.
Only, you know those wanky shops in London? That's,
oh, yeah. I know the ones.
They're like bakeries, but they also sell biscuits for dogs.
Yeah.
There's one in Chiswick, and I love the cakes there, and I bought my dog a present because I've been away for a few days. But I ate them in the car on the way home.
Stunning.
Because you'd forgotten, or just that
package? Oh, no, I was hungry. And
yeah.
What were they? What flavour were they?
Bone-shaped. They were bone-shaped.
Yeah.
just plain biscuit, like butter biscuits.
Oh.
They were delicious.
Yeah, sounds delicious. Yeah.
And they'd not, like, woven any sort of offal in.
I mean, if they had, I didn't notice.
It was lovely.
I've just realised I have eaten food meant for a pet. When I was 2 years old, my mum had to move the cat's food from the floor on top of the fridge because I kept eating it. The cat was always really hungry and she couldn't figure out why, and then once she walked into the kitchen and found me just hoofing all of the cat's food into my face, and she doesn't know how long it had been going on for. So I've actually eaten quite a lot of food intended for a cat. I was just a baby at the time, an unsupervised baby.
I love the idea that you were just having a massive protein load as a baby.
Yeah.
Essentially, a really muscular baby.
The way she tells it, she tried to put it other places, but I was so determined to get the food that eventually I had to go on top of the fridge because that was the only place in the house I couldn't get access to.
That's amazing. The only thing my parents had to hide like that was cowpol. I fucking loved it, and I'd drink it a neck whole bottles of it. It was the 80s, so no one gave a shit. Eventually, yeah, they locked that upper cupboard.
It's delicious.
Now I can admit I did know where it was.
But you because you have a young son now. Yeah. I've got two young children, and I do lick the spoon after I've given them cowpol.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely
delicious.
More embarrassing than that, I don't use a spoon. It comes with a plastic syringe. So because there's no spoon to lick, I have to get the empty syringe and go... try and suck all the last dewy droplets of...
You look very healthy.
I might have just heard someone retch. Do you think it tastes cowpol like the same as Red Bull? I think there's something similar going on there.
Oh,
yeah, I reckon there is. Yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, well.
No. It's been many years since I tried cowpol.
Future episode in the making.
Red Bull is for vodka, so I don't really associate the two in the same way.
I understand. I want to try, please, some drumstick chocolate.
Mm. By all means, do. Should we have a piece each?
Yes, please.
Are you all right with me handling it?
Yeah, thank you.
It's not covered safe.
Okay, great. Right.
Sniffing it like a sommelier.
Yeah.
It does smell like drumstick.
You can see visible chunks of some raspberry.
Oh.
Okay. No.
What's country?
It's yoghurty. It's like yoghurty inside. It doesn't taste anything like a drum, or mm-mm. Doesn't it? Hang on. Give it time.
I don't hate it.
What's
I don't,
crunchy?
I was expecting to have... It's tiny bits of freeze-dried raspberry.
Yeah.
I was expecting to have a much worse time than that.
Mm.
Does someone else want to try some?
I still don't... still don't.
Sorry, I said that just so Priya could do some work.
As I put the second half in my mouth for no reason, I was just thinking I don't ever need to try it again, though.
No, I'm not going to be going back to that.
I don't think I ever loved drumsticks that much, did you?
No, but do you know what I bloody love? Mm. Squashies.
Mm.
I have been known to drive home late from a gig at night and eaten like two packets of it.
The audience made a collective noise similar to if we'd shown them a video of a chick nuzzling a lion. When you said squashies, there was a collective...
Because there's something about the texture as well. It's not just the taste. And the rhubarb and custard ones.
Squashies are like edible versions of those things you put in your ears at concerts.
Yes. Don't want to get those mixed up.
No. Tell me about something old-fashioned, or particularly old-fashioned, or maybe we should try the wine while we talk about old-fashioned.
Oh, God.
Should we?
Yes.
Okay. anything you've eaten that's been either really old-fashioned or really futuristic?
Ooh.
I can cut out this song.
Have you ever been to St. Fagan's, which is just outside Cardiff? It's a living history museum. Esa, you've been?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So they take you there on school trips if you're Welsh. Have you been to St. Fagans, anyone? Give a cheer. And they will make you Welsh cakes on like an old-timey griddle.
Okay.
I don't know how hygienic it is now that I'm thinking about it.
Well, everybody here seems to have survived.
That's pretty old-timey.
Yeah. Yeah. That feels quite old-timey. Did they taste particularly more? Did they have a vintage quality?
Delicious.
Just really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, lovely.
That was a boring answer, I'm so sorry.
Not at all, I loved it. Anything particularly futuristic?
God.
I think freeze-dried mushrooms get up there, isn't it?
There's a place in Cardiff that does curry candy floss.
Shut up. Mm. Do you know its name?
I don't know if it's still open. It was called Moksh.
Moksh.
It was good. It was right behind the curry house that I worked in. It was our competitor. And I would recommend people go there all the time. People would come in and I'd be like, we're fully booked, but...
You scared? I'm scared.
I'm really
that
scared.
Does not. That smells like vinegar.
It doesn't smell like vinegar, but this smells of the olden days. Which is a rude thing to say about the ACs, but I...
it's actually racked
with nerves.
Wheat whiskey.
Wheat whiskey?
Yeah.
Is that not... This one? What?
So
it's not wine at all?
Well, no.
Why are there grapes on the bottle?
There's wine as well, but I went for the oldest bottle I had.
This is extraordinary.
For the Jeopardy. Fuck. Shall I go first?
Yeah.
Okay.
Often I ask the question, is there anything you've ever eaten or drunk out of... Oh...
It's weird.
Okay. I thought something worse was going to happen then. Out of awkwardness or embarrassment, anything you've ever eaten or drunk, and here's me.
That's malty. That's,
Oh. It's not...
It tastes like a long-dead Malteser.
My chest is on fire.
Yeah, I'm not sure how whether it's immediately made enemies with that chocolate.
Mm-hmm. it's the old days.
Partially made its way.
Yeah, the old days in the modern times, they're not compatible.
Drumstick chocolate.
No.
We'll have a second sip. It's like a Christmassy. It's the sort of thing someone's nana is having on Christmas morning, isn't it? In a little glass with like floral decoration around the edge of the glass.
If I take a cup round, I mean, I'm going to bring one cup round. Mm. Trust me, there's so much alcohol in this. You won't catch anything from anyone.
Yeah. It's COVID proof. It's 100% alcohol. Right.
It's made my shoulders warm.
Yeah, I'm just going to sit with it for a moment and see what happens. This is probably the closest thing I'll ever get to trying ayahuasca. Say scrumdiddlyumptious.
No!
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrumdiddlyumptious.
The universe gets bought by Elon Musk and modified to become a libertarian fuck-knuckle, taking all freedoms to absolutes and sacking respect, morality and the idea that we owe anything to anyone other than ourselves off completely. It's a lawless bloodbath. I don't know if you've seen that film, The Purge, but it's like that, but worse. Elon's agreed to step back down to electric space vehicles and social media platforms, but only if you, and weirdly it does have to be you two, agree to do a Welsh folk dance called Jackie Doo for 15.5 hours, whilst bumbling about whatever the Capital FM DJ just said, because you have to listen to it the whole time you're doing it, giving it a mumbly-bumbly commentary. It sounds impossible, but you do it! You're a hero. You're a pair of heroes. You have saved us all from a Muskian apocalypse. Your reward in reality is the adulation of all people for all time. You've gone down in history as gods.
Sure.
Your reward in the moment, however, and you're fucking hungry because that was hours of dancing and whilst mumbling, so no snacks were being passed, is the feast of your dreams. So this is the opposite of a last meal in the sense that anything is possible. It's a fantasy feast. I couldn't give a fuck about health, ethics, consequences, any of that. Also, it's the opposite of last meal in the sense that you are both the happiest and the hungriest you could potentially ever imagine being. I would love to know if you're the happiest and hungriest you could ever imagine being, what you would eat, what you would drink, and if there's a who with and where, who with and where. Last caveat, we are all aware this is only your answer now, and had I asked you even an hour's time, you could give a totally different answer.
Do you want to go first?
Dumplings. But like, I'm talking gyoza, yeah. Bao buns, with noodles as well. I fucking love noodles. Oh, yeah. Just that meal. Oh God. Because I live in the middle of nowhere, like a half an hour away from Cardiff, and no one delivers anything to our house. But a couple of months ago, this place, it's a Chinese restaurant, I think, but they do dumplings. And oh my God, they will deliver. The delivery fee is £8.50.
Fuck.
Oh, so worth it. I mean, I've even ordered like a hot and sour soup that they make, and the hot and sour soup is £2.25.
Yeah.
And I've had that delivered for £8.50. Yeah. So that kind of food, that kind of comfort, but very nice flavours. Drink. Ooh, excuse me.
Not the first time on the podcast, won't be the last. It's got to be a little bit of granddad's
wheat
whiskey, isn't it?
For sure, yeah. Rest in peace, yeah. to drink, I mean, it would be alcoholic. Yeah. My favourite cocktail is an old-fashioned.
Right.
A vat of that, please. And I think, right this moment, I would enjoy it with you two and all of you, because this is bloody lovely.
I would not come because you'd be eating something from a vat or drinking something from a vat, so I wouldn't choose to attend. I would go back to a time where I was able to taste things. And I would have my Nana Sheila's corned beef pie that she used to make for all of our birthday parties. She'd make this massive tray of it, and I genuinely could sit down and eat a whole tray of it, aged like 6 or 7. It was so good. That woman is out of control when it comes to butter and salt. Oh my God, delicious. And for a cup of tea, or for a drink. Yep. I've already answered my own question. I would have a cup of tea. Yeah, like a strong, sweet cup of tea.
Ask the last question before we all sip that whiskey. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely bloody lovely. Thank you to my brilliant guests, please. And thank you to you, the audience. Thank you for coming to the Hoovering Podcast. Enjoy the rest of your time at this wonderful festival. Goodbye.
What a belting episode. So funny, am I right? Follow my brilliant guests on social media. Esylt is Esylltmair on Twitter and Instagram. And Priya is I am Priya Hall. IAMPRYAHALL on everything. Also, Esylt show, as I said, at the Fringe last few days now, 1 p.m. at the Tron, every single day. It's called Absolutely Not. I think she's so funny and wise. I'm going to listen to her talk for days and days and days. Follow the podcast on social media at The Hoovering Pod. I'm on there, obviously, at Jessica Foster Q. Come and see me on tour with my new show, Wench. It's on tour from the start of September right through to the end of November. I would love, love, love to have you amazing Hoovering listeners at that show. It's been an absolute joy to put this sort of finishing shining touches on here at the Edinburgh Fringe as I'm speaking now. Anything longer than a tweet you want to send me, or you want to know where to buy tickets to see me do stand-up, or where any maybe autumnal Hoovering lives are, go to my website, jessicafosterq.com. I have put links to everything interesting that all three of us mentioned during this show, and to where to buy tickets to all of our work, and follow us on social media, etc., as ever, in the painstakingly put together podcast notes. Please do use them. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham, and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until in 2 weeks, happy Hoovering.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.